pull up a chair. I mean, I know your shift just started, but you really need to look at this stack of charts we've got at the nursing station tonight.
Yeah, I see them. It's quite the pile.
The fluorescent lights in this psychiatric ward are already giving me a migraine.
Yeah.
And honestly, the screaming from the observation rooms isn't helping at all.
It never does. It's just exhausting.
Right. Well, today's most agitated patient is currently wandering the halls, just babbling to the walls. It's the global energy and commodity artery.
Oh, them. Yeah, it is exhausting just watching them pace back and forth.
It really is.
I mean, the patient is currently hallucinating a so-called golden age of endless efficiency. They just keep muttering about optimized supply chains, perfectly timed deliveries, you know, frictionless borders.
Completely delusional.
Entirely. They are entirely ignoring the fact that their central circulatory system is on the verge of a massive systemic stroke.
Yeah, I mean, it is a textbook case of advanced cognitive decline. The titans of commercial real estate and these global supply chain industries, they're completely divorced from reality.
Absolutely divorced.
They're sitting in their padded rooms right now, just polishing their delusional pro formas.
Yep.
And for the record, to anyone sane, a pro forma is supposed to be a financial projection based on logical assumptions.
Right, logic being the key word there.
Exactly. But in this ward, it's just a spreadsheet hallucinating future profits that require a physical reality that, well, simply does not exist.
They are completely convinced the math works because they just refuse to look out the window.
Yeah, they pull the blinds down. Thank God for Priyan Chuadathakar.
Seriously.
Priyan's the lead investigator on this case, the chief of surgery. And frankly, the only one performing the autopsy on the deal while the rest of the market acts like the corpse is just taking a nap.
Just sleeping it off, right?
So our objective on this shift, for you sitting here with us, is to review Pri's latest diagnostic notes from the file, Global Linear Supply Chain Fragility.
A necessary, if really grim, undertaking. We must first document the patient's immediate presenting symptoms before we can even begin to understand the chronic disease here.
Yeah, the underlying rot.
Exactly. We can't treat the whole organism until we understand why it is currently, you know, coughing up blood.
So let's look at the acute presenting crisis. The condition is officially classified in Pri's notes as an acute choke point constriction, specifically the Hormuz strain.
The geographical biology of the symptom is terrifying when you look at the scans.
It's bad.
The Strait of Hormuz is a waterway that is only 21 miles wide. 21 miles.
Wait, just 21?
Yes. To put that in clinical perspective for you, you could run a marathon across it and still have 5 miles left over.
That is insane.
And yet that tiny capillary is expected to handle 20% of the world's liquid petroleum.
And it's actually even worse than that 21-mile figure suggests. Because the actual navigable shipping lanes, you know, the deep water required for massive supertankers, they're only about 2 miles wide in either direction.
Yes, 2 miles.
Yeah. As Pri notes in the patient's chart, this is where the mathematical insanity of the market's delusion really becomes apparent.
Oh, absolutely.
The titans of industry are treating this vital artery as if it has a variable valve. They model their risk as if Hormuz can have a, well, a medium flow during times of geopolitical stress.
Which is just a profound misunderstanding of both physics and geopolitics.
Right. I mean, at 21 miles wide, bordered by adversarial states and heavily armed fast attack craft, there is no medium flow.
None at all.
The valve is either entirely open or it is violently, catastrophically closed. But the market's internal rate of return, you know, the IRR metric they use to justify their massive bonuses, it assumes a smooth, uninterrupted flow of cheap energy to keep their real estate and logistics assets profitable forever.
Which is why I must emphasize in the most clinical terms possible that this is not a localized ache.
No.
A closure of Hormuz is not a minor sprain in the ankle of global trade. The market treats it as a regional dispute, but it is a massive systemic stroke risk.
It hits the brain immediately.
Exactly. When 20% of the global energy supply is suddenly cut off, the price of the remaining 80% doesn't just go up slightly. It multiplies.
Right. It goes exponential.
The entire global body goes into immediate shock. When a single geographic point of failure threatens the entire organism, the market's insistence on treating that single point as if it were perfectly healthy, well, it's a severe psychological break from reality.
So how did the patient get here? How did we get to a point where a 21-mile capillary is holding the entire global economy hostage and, like, nobody in the boardroom seems to care?
It's a deep-seated pathology.
Right. That brings us to the chronic illness, the underlying condition that systematically destroyed the patient's immune system over the last 3 decades.
The diagnosis is unmistakable. It's the efficiency infection.
Yeah. Prize boots on the ground diagnosis of this delusion is brutal, but entirely accurate.
Spot on.
We are looking at 30 years of just-in-time manufacturing, 30 years of classical economic models prioritizing short-term lean health, which is really just gorging on profit nutrients.
Exactly, just sugar highs.
Right, prioritizing that over long-term resilient survival.
Those classical economic models are the literal source of the hallucination. The market has been operating in this frictionless dreamscape.
So totally untethered.
Just-in-time logistics, which was pioneered by automakers and adopted globally, it only functions in a sterile vacuum.
Right.
A vacuum devoid of friction, devoid of politics, devoid of weather, and frankly, devoid of human nature. They stripped every ounce of fat, every warehouse buffer, every immune response out of the global supply chain.
They just hollowed it out.
They replaced physical inventory with shipping containers currently floating on the ocean, all just to maximize immediate quarterly returns.
I mean, look, it's exactly like a hospital administrator deciding to sell off the building's backup generators to boost their quarterly profits. Because, you know, power outages are deemed wasteful overhead.
This is a perfect analogy.
You look at a generator that hasn't been turned on in 5 years and say, wow, look at all that idle capital doing nothing.
What a waste of space, they think.
Sure, the balance sheet looks fantastic for a few months. Their bonus is massive. But the second a storm hits, the life support machines shut off, and the patients die in the dark.
And that is just-in-time logistics applied to global energy and critical components. We saw the initial tremors of this during the pandemic.
Absolutely.
And when that single ship blocked the Suez Canal, I mean, the global economy almost flatlined over one stuck boat.
Just one boat. The institutional amnesia required to maintain this delusion after those events, it's just staggering. The market treats geopolitical risk in the Persian Gulf as a black swan event.
Which is ridiculous.
They classify it as a rare, unpredictable mutation that cannot possibly be modeled.
Right. They treat an active fault line like it's a meteor strike.
Exactly.
It is clinically negligent. Tension in the Persian Gulf is not a mutation. It is a structural feature of the patient's DNA.
It's baked in.
It is a chronic underlying condition. To pretend otherwise, to run financial models that assume permanent peace in the Middle East, is malpractice.
And let's document the subsidy delusion, too, because this is where the patient's fever really spikes.
Mm-hmm.
We need to talk about the false reading on the patient's vitals regarding the so-called low cost of oil.
Ah, yes, the great hallucination of cheap energy.
Yeah.
Market spreadsheets show low-cost oil because, well, the market is not paying the actual cost of keeping that 21-mile artery open.
Right.
Global taxpayers are essentially providing a $1 trillion security stent via naval carrier groups.
Now, just to log this properly for the record for you listening at the desk, we are strictly analyzing the economic mechanisms outlined in Preet's chart here.
Correct.
We aren't taking a political stance on U.S. military spending or naval deployments or foreign policy. We're simply observing how this source notes that these naval assets artificially alter the math on the global balance sheets.
Yeah, the observation is purely structural. If the United States military and its allies were not artificially propping open that choke point with the constant looming presence of naval defense, the insurance premiums for shipping alone would make the route unviable.
It would be untouchable.
The true cost of moving that petroleum would be astronomical. If that true security cost were actually priced into the market's precious pro formas, the patient would have transitioned to decentralized domestic energy decades ago.
Decades ago.
But because the stent is invisible on their balance sheets, because the government absorbs the cost of the immune system, the market assumes the heart is pumping on its own.
The spreadsheets are too polite to mention the warships. It's exactly how Pree saw the symptoms before the family portfolio was traded away for Magic Beans.
Magic Beans is right.
Pree uses this heavy reverse psychology to look at the actual brain of the deal rather than the inflated internal rate of return. Pree forces the market to look at the physical reality because classical economic theory has completely failed to cure the patient.
It really has. It has only exacerbated the illness, feeding the delusion that capital can somehow ignore geography. Which means we must review Pree's prescribed surgical intervention.
Here we go.
And as with all major surgeries on an organism this frail, the side effects will be severe.
Okay, let's unpack this. The fatal flaw we have to overcome is the patient's deeply held psychotic belief that the market can somehow provide its own security. Let's run down the clinical reality versus the hallucination. starting with how they perceive the map.
Right. The classical economic delusion dictates that ships take the shortest, cheapest path between two points. It is literally a straight line drawn on a piece of paper.
Which is a fantasy.
Total fantasy. The Hormuz reality, the actual physical world, dictates that ships take the path allowed by state actors. A line on a map means absolutely nothing if a hostile navy decides to draw a different one.
Or if insurance companies refuse to underwrite the cargo passing through that line.
Exactly.
So if the shortest path is a delusion, and ships are forced to take a detour around an entire continent just to avoid the constriction, what happens to the inventory?
It breaks the model.
Right. If the path changes from 10 days to 40 days, the entire concept of lean inventory completely collapses.
Which brings us to the next symptom. The delusion insists that stockpiles are wasteful, just idle capital depreciating in a dusty warehouse.
But the reality?
The reality is that stockpiles are the only buffer against sudden systemic collapse. They are the body's fat reserves, entirely necessary for surviving the winter of a supply shock.
And capital hates fat reserves.
Despises them, because they cost money to store, secure, and insure. But without them, the organism snarves the very moment the supply chain stutters.
And that leads directly to the dependencies. I mean, the prevailing hallucination of the last 30 years was that globalization reduces war through mutually beneficial trade.
The Golden Arches theory of conflict prevention.
Exactly. The theory was that if we all rely on each other, nobody will pull the trigger.
But the grim reality we are charting today is that trade itself becomes a weapon for asymmetric warfare. Interdependence is not a deterrent. It is a hostage situation.
That's a dark way to look at it, but it's true.
When an adversary controls the refinement of 90% of your critical minerals or manufactures 80% of your advanced microchips, they do not need to fire a missile.
No, they don't.
They simply apply a tourniquet to the supply chain and just watch the patient turn blue.
So let's look at the prescribed treatment. Pri is recommending a massive organ transplant. We have to pivot the entire organism from global efficiency to regional resilience.
That's going to hurt.
The agonizing shift from just in time to just in case. The first step of the procedure is the friendshoring graft, restricting trade to aligned nations to prevent what Pri calls asymmetric rejection.
Right, because the body is already rejecting the foreign tissue of adversarial supply chains through tariffs, sanctions, and export controls. So the surgeon attempts to graft tissue only from friends.
Let me push back on this, though, because I've spent enough years on this ward watching experimental surgeries fail. Doesn't narrowing our suppliers down strictly to our geopolitical friends just create an entirely new, potentially worse illness?
It's a valid concern.
We are telling the organism to survive on a severely restricted diet.
Well, if we consult Pri's follow-up notes, the data confirms your skepticism. Friendshoring is a stabilizing graft meant to stop the immediate bleeding. It is not a cure.
Right.
We are removing the risk of political weaponization from our adversaries, which is necessary.
Right.
But in doing so, we are deliberately narrowing the field of our suppliers. We are basically trading geopolitical risk for concentration risk.
Break down the pathology of that for the listener sitting here with us. What does concentration risk actually look like when the patient tries to stand up and walk?
Well, imagine the global supply chain as a vast, highly diverse ecosystem. If one species fails or one region suffers a drought, another can fill the niche.
Because it's a big planet.
Exactly. But by restricting our ecosystem to only aligned nations, we remove the geographic diversity required to pivot.
So if our friends get sick, we die anyway.
Precisely. If an aligned nation experiences a catastrophic natural disaster or a massive internal labor strike or a sudden populist change in their own domestic policy, we no longer have the vast global network to absorb the shock.
So we're just moving the bottleneck.
We are simply replacing a hostile choke point with a friendly choke point. But a choke point is still a constriction. It still chokes the artery.
We're replacing the Strait of Hormuz with, what? A heavily concentrated semiconductor industry in Taiwan that gets hit by a Category 5 typhoon.
Yes.
Or a critical mineral processing facility in Australia that goes on a 6-month labor strike.
Yeah.
The dependency hasn't been cured, it's just been relocated.
Which is exactly why the graft alone fails. The second phase of the surgical recommendation is the buffer stock injection.
More fat reserves.
Right. Since we cannot rely on the frictionless flow of goods from a diverse global network anymore, we must establish massive strategic reserves. Not just for oil, but for semiconductors, critical minerals, pharmaceutical precursors, transformer components for the power grid, everything. we must artificially inject massive amounts of fat back into the starving organism.
And the cost of carrying that much idle inventory, it is going to completely devastate the profit margins the real estate and logistics titans have been addicted to.
It will crush them.
Which brings us to the final, most invasive phase, the decoupling procedure. Shrinking the economic distance between production and consumption, ripping the vital organs out of distant continents and trying to implant them closer to home so the circulatory system doesn't have to pump blood across hostile oceans.
It is a brutal surgery. Rebuilding industrial bases that have been abandoned for decades requires trillions in capital.
Trillions.
The patient will suffer sudden inflationary shocks as the cheap labor of the global south is replaced by domestic wages. They will experience acute supply chain anxiety and severe phantom pains in their amputated just-in-time logistics network.
Phantom pains. That's exactly what we're seeing on the monitors right now. The market is twitching in its sleep, looking for a cheap, subsidized supply chain that simply doesn't exist anymore.
It's gone.
It's been amputated.
And this brings us to the ultimate prognosis, the bitter pill the listener needs to take back to their own practice when reviewing the charts of these commercial real estate and logistics titans.
The bottom line is that the Strait of Hormuz isn't an anomaly. It is patient zero for the failure of linear supply chains. And here is the truly depressing part, the part that really makes me want to hand in my badge, walk out of this ward, and never look back.
I know what you're going to say.
As we attempt to cure our oil addiction through the massive transition to the green economy, we're doing the exact same thing all over again.
The pathology repeats itself with perfect, tragic symmetry.
We are at extreme risk of replacing the oil choke point of Hormuz with lithium or cobalt black boxes. We are taking a patient dying of lung cancer and trying to cure them by handing them a carton of a different brand of cigarettes.
Because the underlying cognitive decline, that hallucination of cheap, frictionless globalization, it hasn't been treated.
Not at all.
In 2026, strategic resilience means accepting a harsh, clinical reality that the market absolutely despises. The market only functions within a security framework it is utterly incapable of creating for itself.
Wow. Yeah.
Without the military stent, without the state-sponsored immune system guarding the shipping lanes and subsidizing the massive cost of decoupling, the market is a defenseless organism.
It's a brutal reality check. Priyanshu Edathakar is basically the only investigator holding the mirror up to the patient and saying, you are not self-sufficient. Your pro formas are fairy tales. You never were.
It's a tough diagnosis to deliver.
It is. So to you, sitting here at the desk with us reviewing this agonizing chart, I want to leave you with a lingering symptom to monitor on your own rounds. It's something the titans pacing the halls haven't even begun to factor into their delusions.
The real physical constraint.
Exactly. We talked about the absolute necessity of buffer stock injections.
Right.
Right. Building massive localized stockpiles of critical minerals, raw materials, and energy reserves to survive the decoupling. But consider the physical reality of that fat reserve.
Where does it go?
Right. Who is going to provide the physical land, the zoning rights, and the endless environmental permits to store millions of tons of highly toxic, highly combustible materials in our own domestic backyards?
Nobody wants it.
It's easy to say we need a localized lithium reserve. It's another thing entirely to get a municipality to let you build it next to their suburbs.
The collision between strategic geopolitical necessity and local environmental permitting is going to be the next massive hemorrhage in the market.
It really is. I highly recommend you consult your own strategic reserves and update your risk models before committing to any of these centralized supply chain fantasies.
Good advice.
Well, I'm shutting this patient's chart for the night. We'll see you for the next deep dive. Try to get some sleep before your rounds begin. You're gonna need it.